Vinny and Haiti. Put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
I'm proud of Ja, man. Like, Ja, all he's done is work so hard to get back. I mean, he's came back earlier than what people thought he was going to be back. And the biggest thing I say with him is just staying healthy. He's very talented. When he plays, he's productive. You guys saw that on. I definitely feel like the substitution thing could definitely get cleaned up, because I look at it like, you know, we cost us two timeouts that we could have used towards the end of the game that, you know, offense could have used. So it was, like I said, it was a learning experience and something we learned from. You know, me personally, just how I look at it as a coach, you got to look at yourself first. So, you know, I take full responsibility of that. And, you know, we look forward to the challenge of responding and doing things to our standard. But it was okay. But, you know, here in Baltimore, okay is not good enough. So I'll just say, man, just, you know, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Felt like, you know, try to do too much in certain situations. And, you know, it costs us to play a little slow. Man, we got great players here. Just allow them to go out there, play fast, do their thing, and everything's going to be all right.
That's Zach Orr, Ravens defensive coordinator, met with the media yesterday talking about some subjects that we're going to tackle, pun intended. And that comment right there was basically what he learned from his first game as the main play caller defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, a team with Super Bowl hopes and pretty realistic Super Bowl hopes at that. And as we just heard, Vinny, you know, as a player, he became kind of the green dot guy, was on his way to getting paid. Then an injury ended his career. In a short period of time, he's gone from a novice assistant to someone calling plays for a bunch of all pros and pro bowlers. And, you know, he just said, you heard it, I'm learning. And it's going to be somewhat of a process here.
Yeah. The only thing I would say to that, I mean, we go back to Mike McDonald's first year, Bob, and he had a little more experience because he called games at Michigan. It's kind of similar with Mike for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Listening to Zach, the thing I would say is they tried to do too much. By trying to do too much, your two best players on defense played their worst games. So, I mean, what did you learn? Like he said, keep it simple so my stars can be stars. That's a tough lesson to learn. And you know, he learned it. It'd be nice if you could learn that with a W.
Sure.
You know, that's the big thing. But, I mean, Mike McDonald had the same thing. You know, I mean, they were, you know, when they lost. Well, the Miami game was the second game, wasn't it?
Yeah, second or third, yeah. But they were up like three touchdowns.
Right.
And then followed it up with another meltdown against Buffalo.
Yeah, and that was Kyle Hamilton in that one, too.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing about it is, you know, I mean, Kansas City's never going to have the – Kansas City is dictating because they have veteran coaches. That's the only thing is – and, you know, that's Harb's decision. And he knew – I mean, you had to know that you're going to have some growing pains. And Bob, like I think you mentioned it the other day, all the new assistants that they hired really don't have any NFL experience.
Right.
So it was kind of a lot of guys learning for the first time and in an environment that, you know, you got the former Super Bowl champions there in a hostile environment, loud, crazy, all those types of things.
Yeah, two-time defending.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champions. Also heard Zach Orr talking about the communication and substitution issues that John Harbaugh himself even referenced. And it seemed like going back to Monday, John Harbaugh was more perturbed with the fact that the substitution patterns may have led to some of these communication problems.
And I agree with Zach. We got great players. Just let them play. We screwed them up by, you know, hurrying them in, hurrying them out. You're confusing them. Just let them play. Let them play, you know. And that's the thing. And I think this week, you know, you don't have Patrick Mahomes and you don't have all these Hall of Famers that Kansas City has. You know, you got Gardner Minshew.
Who beat you last year in Baltimore, by the way. Let's point that one out.
They've got two excellent tight ends, Bowers and Myers. and then Davante Adams. So, I mean, they have some guys that can beat you, but they don't have the trigger guy as good as Mahomes.
Yeah, and the running game might be a little on the sketchy side.
Number three, White. White, to me, he's got some nice quickness and burst, but he doesn't have really long speed. But we'll get into I did yesterday. You know, their O-line, Bob, is not that great.
The Raiders. The film study, is that what it told us?
Yeah, but the thing that just, you know, for you to hear too, Bob, their defensive line is spectacular. And it's not just the two guys. I mean, Adam Butler, number 69, he's a really good rusher too. Bob,
the Chargers.
Chargers were down 7-6 at the half. They had 88 total yards, 0-for-7 on third down. And the Raiders came off the bus blitzing. So, I mean, they were on attack mode. I don't think you can do that to Lamar and get away with it. But they're up front, guys. And the Chargers' O-line, their left tackle's all pro. Their right tackle was the fifth pick of the draft, all. You know, so they have a very good line. You know, and everybody says, oh, this is going to be a puffy pantser because they gave up 176 yards rushing. Bob, 25 of the – they rushed it 27 times, the Chargers. 25 times for 69 yards. Two carries that Dobbins had, one for 61 and one for 46. Other than that, they didn't piss a drop. They didn't piss a drop all day, averaged like 2 yards a carry. And the 46-yarder was third and one, so they were all packed in there, he hit a crease. The other one was second and three. They're all packed in there, they hit a crease. So, I mean, that's – otherwise, they're just hitting it against their head. Their nose tackle, John Jenkins, he's 326 pounds. He's a big dude. And they all are good fundamentally, those D linemen, and they all can get off blocks. But they, other than Jenkins, those three guys are going to cause a lot of pressure. And Crosby and Wilkins, Bob, they line up most times next to each other on the defensive left side, which is the Ravens' right side.
So that would be Rosengard, McCary, and Faalele, is what you're saying.
Yes.
So are we saying the spread of 9 points might not be appropriate? We'll get into Vinny's keys coming up. Bottom of the hour. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Ravens 9-point favorites in this game. No Nate Wiggins at practice yesterday. Apparently there's a neck issue, which we'll talk about with Jonas Schaefer at the top of the hour.
And I would say, Bob, I mean, if you're going to just miss one corner, I think it's okay. You know, you can get by because Tampa could probably play this week. He was inactive last week. But, I mean, you got Jacoby Myers. He's okay. You know, Davante Adams is the guy. And they're two tight ends. They want to throw to Adams and Bowers. That's what they want to do. Adams, Bauer, and Myers. That's kind of their guys. And they have those two tight ends on the field most of the time. So that's what. So, you know, Hamilton's going to be involved in coverage, and I'm sure Adarius Washington will have a bigger role too. So it's going to be that type of game. So if Wiggins is going to be out, you know, okay. You know, I can get by if I need to this week.
Ravens, 9-point favorites at home, and it's the home opener against the Las Vegas Raiders. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show, live from the Horseshoe Casino, starts at 10 o'clock with me and Ken Wyman, then Vinny, Tim Barbalace, Mike Preston, Cordell Woodland, everybody else getting you ready for this one. It's going to be a beautiful weekend in the Charm City, so weather will not be a factor for either team. There was a game last night as Buffalo beats Miami 31-10. James Cook, 3 touchdowns. Josh Allen, efficient. But in the game, Tua Tagovailoa, yet another concussion, ran into DeMar Hamlin in a hit very similar to the one that almost ended DeMar Hamlin's life a couple years ago against the Bengals. But for Tua, it hits the forearm, then fall. I guess he hit his head on the ground, whatever it is, but just got paid. Has a history of concussion issues. And look, I've been hit in the face before.
Yep.
Never had that level. I mean, I played flag football. And the only time I wore football helmets when I, you know, I had one for Christmas. I got the little Colt uniform and I was like 8.
Yeah.
But glass jaw boxer. I mean, you suffer the first one, then every time you get tapped on the chin, you hit the deck. And I'm not trying to diminish this with Tua, but seeing a Pat, he was unscathed last year, threw for 4,600 plus yards. But it did not seem like, Vinny, this like jarring hit that would be on videotape selling to the masses in the olden days of crunch course NFL football here.
Hamlin basically caught him. Hamlin wasn't the aggressor. Tua was the aggressor.
Ran into him.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, if I was to critique Tua, I said, well, you know, you're getting crushed. What the hell are you doing? You know, why are you... What's the matter with sliding? That why did you make it to 17 games last year? Because you were smart. Remember, he was practicing, jiu-jitsu or whatever to learn how to fall and all that? This one, he thought he was Bill Brown or, you know, I mean, just running, putting his head
old down. School reference. That's a Vikings fullback, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to say John Brockington.
Green Bay Packers. But Tua, he leaves. Buffalo wins convincingly, and that game was over, as Vinny said, by the time the injury even. He threw 3 picks, won a pick 6, though.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, the first series, the receiver, whoever, 80, I mean, that guy, it hit him right in the chest, and it bounced off, and Buffalo got the, and that was it. After that, Buffalo surprised. Buffalo is better than I thought, Bob.
Yeah, Bills 2-0 on the season. We'll talk about that. Orioles are in Detroit tonight, taking on the Tigers. 15 games left in the regular season. The Yankees walked off the Red Sox last night, so they're 2 games up in the division. The Orioles, as we've talked about since June the 20th, they're 34-39. They had the best record in baseball through the first 2.5 months. Now they're a team that's below 500 in the ensuing almost 3. The Tigers, since July 1st, they're 37-26. Lost yesterday, though.
And Scubel pitch.
Yeah, and he got hit. He got drilled, non-pitching arm, but Orioles were going to miss him anyway. But Detroit, 3.5 out of the wild card, so they want to still make some damage. Orioles could maybe finish them if they could have some success. Yankees taking on Boston. So there's a lot to get to with Major League Baseball. Terps tomorrow at Virginia. College football. Talk about that with Keith Kavanaugh. We got the whip around. We got a big fight tomorrow. Canelo Alvarez. He's back in the ring. So it's a busy, busy, busy sports weekend. It's Vinny and Haney with Nolan McGraw. It's Featured Artist Friday. I have no idea who we're jamming to. Let's find out together next here on The Fan. Last night, Buffalo wins. Orioles are in Detroit tonight. Any feedback on... Hyder not pitching around O'Neal. You know what happened? Because I'm going to share my thoughts because I was pissed. I was very angry with Wednesday night's defeat. Holiday boots the grounder.
Right.
He makes the play. Right? You're 2 outs, runner on third. Then you pitch around O'Neal. And I'm not defending Brandon Hyde per se. He boots it. Now it's first and third. You walk O'Neal. The winning runs on second base scores on a base hit.
Yep.
Now, you didn't plan on Aiken hanging a slider that got hit 500 feet over the Green Monster, but, and then again, inability to hit with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
Then you have first and third, one out, and then 6 pitches later, 2 strikeouts. So it was Hyder taking the heat, and I guess he could to some level, because Dean Kramer had a quality start wasted, and it seemed as though watching the post-game interviews, Kramer was a little yacked off.
Yes, he was.
By that.
And Hyder explained it, but Norm was more upset because, and I think the thing was Cano should have stayed a little bit longer into the ninth instead of just getting one batter, right, Norm?
That was probably the Hyde decision that took the most heat.
The Hyder hook?
Right. Yeah. Now, he did the night previous when he had the balk. So it was back-to-back nights.
Well, he was worthy of getting yanked that game.
Sure.
He was laboring a little.
But pitch count standpoint, 15 pitches in that game with the balk, just 2 on the next night, and then you had the off day yesterday. So people were saying, well, hey, with the off day, why not send it back out there for the next inning? Obviously, you didn't know at the time that the game was going to go to extras, but hindsight is always 20/20.
So I guess it was a negative flow.
Yeah,
yesterday's.
But all over. I mean, people were mad at the offense.
Yeah. Should be mad at the offense. That's the reason they're kind of mired in this. because they can't score runs and they can't string together these big innings, and the crooked numbers have gone south. Not like the Yankees are knocking the cover off the ball either.
Judge hadn't hit a homer, what, 17 games?
Oh, he's scuffling. Soto's been kind of carrying them just a little bit. Jazz Chisholm got the game-winning hit a couple of nights ago. But it's the division nobody wants to win.
No doubt.
The American League East. But right now the Orioles are two games back, taking on a Detroit team that's fighting for their wild card lives. All right, we have time for a phone call. Let's get out to the phones. Ravens, 9-point favorites at home. Your score prediction. Well, listen, you want to vent about the Orioles, and I think venting is fair. They're going to make the playoffs, but they had so much injuries that played a factor, yes, but we're tired of talking about it. We're talking about the same thing over and over.
Yep.
Bullpen blew it, and the offense can't score. And by the way, and Rockabacco wrote about this today on Masson, or Childs Walker, I believe, in the Baltimore Sun. Their defense stinks. They're below average in all the nerd stats, especially in the infield.
Yeah.
So there's that. But let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Owings Mills. Started off on this Featured Artist Friday. Frankie Beverly. It's Harry in Owings Mills. Harry, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Frankie Beverly. May you rest in peace. I guess I am old, but that's okay.
Yeah, but you're still here, baby. That's all that matters, right?
Yes, sir, and enjoying it every day. I want to talk a little bit about Tua. I think there's a fine line between ultra-competitive and smart, and it's almost as if he's looked at it as if to say, well, hey, I'm the reason why this bad performance is taking place, and he was wanted to show a form of leadership and bravado and do something that he should not have done. You only needed 3 yards. Do 3.5, 4, go down, get your first down, and keep going. Your psychology of sports and your performance in it cannot outweigh your ability to process information. It's not like they were starting the season 0-1. Now, yes, they did struggle last week against Jacksonville, and at some point they were on the precipice of losing that game until Jacksonville made a mistake, opening the door for the Dolphins to go in and seize control and get a victory, and they did. So you got your win. All right, even if you don't win yesterday, you're 1-1. Pick yourself up, lick your wounds, make your adjustments, and come back and compete going forward. You cannot put yourself in a situation where you're going to get hurt, because if you do, that team hurts mightily. And there are a lot of other NFL teams that are in that same situation, the Ravens included. But, you know, Lamar plays smart, and Tua has got to play smarter. And not to mention fantasy football, because I do have Tyreek Hill. That hurts as well. But that's just a product of the environment. But that's my point about that. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
All right, Harry, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Well, Lamar doesn't have a history of concussions.
No.
You know, and Lamar, up until this last game, I thought Lamar has done a hell of a job getting out of bounds and not taking big hits. Now, last game, it was a different mindset, I think, is kind of what he had said when he talked the other day, that was kind of an all or nothing game for him. You know, it was, and it looked like it. He was like, I'm taking charge in this game. And that's what he did. So is he gonna continue to do that? If he does, he's got to slide and get out of it. Don't take the hits. I mean, he took too many hits. And why did he miss practice on Monday? He was sore.
Sure.
So I'd rather have a couple less yards, but him sliding, him getting out of bounds early, because just like with the Dolphins now, without Tua, what are they?
They're Skylar Thompson.
Right.
And Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill not doing
right.
a lot
and
of great
and we'd be looking
things.
At Josh Johnson or Huntley, and then where are the Ravens? I mean, if Lamar got hurt in week two, we would be like, come on, Orioles, make it to the World Series.
We'd be getting flexed a lot later in the season. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, what do you think? Take a call or to go to a break? So if you're on the phones, we'll get you. But coming back next, we got Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens looking to get that first win of the season. Raiders, same thing. They lost at L.A. Chargers. I was going to say San Diego. Damn you, Chargers. But it's the Chargers. It's they beat the Raiders. Ravens lose last Thursday night. Ravens are big favorites, biggest favorites of this weekend, week two, 9 points against Las Vegas. How do they get it done? If you're on the phones, get in. You want to talk about the Orioles one event? You want to rag on Hyder? We'll listen. You want to rag on the bullpen? We'll listen. I'd say rag on the offense and the defense because there's some problems right there.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on. And we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Frankie Beverly and Maze, or just Frankie Beverly. He's got a lot of good songs out there. Ravens hosting the Raiders. Home opener. Raiders already 0-1, same as Baltimore. Ravens 9-point favorites. How do the Ravens avoid an 0-2 start before they head to Dallas? Let's find out Vinny's keys to victory.
All right, I've got one offensive key, and O-line grade C-plus or higher, graded by me. And the only reason I have one, I mean, I could say Lamar needs to do this, Henry needs to do this. It all revolves around the O-line. You know, because if the O-line's bad, they're going to have a hard time doing, you know, running the ball and doing those kind of things, and Lamar's going to be running for his life. So the key in this one is the weakest link on the Ravens' offense is the O-line. The strongest unit on the Raiders' team is the D-line. So you got a mismatch there. Can they win some of those battles? I'm telling you, the Chargers only won two. They won two battles, but they were two long touchdowns, and that would be great if they could do that. Number two, disrupt Minshew. Saw it on the film. He doesn't like a lot of people around, and he gets flustered in the pocket, and he gets inaccurate, throws balls crazily. So getting after Minshew is key. Getting him to move, getting him not to be comfortable in the pocket, because we saw it. What did he throw for last year with Indy? Threw for a bunch of yards, if I recall. So they got to get after him. Now, I don't think the Raiders' offensive line is great, especially the tackles. I mean, a Colton Miller, I don't think he's very good. And then the right tackle, I think their right guard is decent. Other than that, I think the Ravens should have their way. So Ajabo, Oweh, you know, it's time. And it doesn't look like Adisa Isaac's going to play, Bob. You know, he's still on the injury report. We'll find out today. You know, and Van Oy's out. Tavius Robinson doesn't give him any rush. So those are, you know, we're back to Ajabo and Rob. And I said this on the film too, Bob. I like Ajabo rushing from the right side. I don't know. It probably has to do with his leg and whatever leg was injured. But he looks much better from the right side, the defensive right side, than the defensive left side. So, and that's going against Colton Miller. And you can beat Colton Miller, especially with power. The next one is don't let Adams beat you. Take away what they do best. Take away their best player. And that's Adams. I mean, like I said, they're gonna want to throw to Adams. And he's still good. He is still very good.
Oh, hell yeah, he is.
Yeah. And then Bowers and Myers. Those are the three guys that Minshew, because they like to dink and dunk. I mean, and against the Chargers, they had to because the ball's coming out quick. And I think it should be the same, you know, against the Ravens. So the ball will come out quick. The next one is no mental errors on defense. Call him communication, same type thing. And Zach Orr addressed that. I mean, if we have it 2 weeks in a row and he addressed it and said, you know, he was too complicated and all that, then it'll be in trouble. But I expect Roquan and Hamilton to have outstanding games. And then the last but not least is win the turnover battle. And that's what happened last week versus the Chargers. They fumbled twice in the third quarter. That cost them the game. That gave the Chargers the points. Otherwise, they're winning 7-6 at the half, and they end up losing 22-10. You know, so the turnovers will be critical. And if the Ravens beat themselves, you know, that is how the Raiders win this game. You know, if they win the turnover battle and they don't have to drive very far, but I don't expect that. So those are my five keys. Just one on offense, like I said, because all revolves around the O-line, and people could say, Pro Football Focus this. You watched the film. The O-line was not great. Ronnie Stanley played good. The rest of them, they had their inconsistencies. They had their screw-ups. So, you know, say what you want. 80% this? No. No, it wasn't. if they had Gardner Minshew back there, you know, instead of Lamar saving their ass, no way.
You don't envision Derrick Henry having a better week two than he did against Kansas City?
Bob, I don't think that they can just, like, line up and go bam, bam. You know, just line up and give it to him 10 times. I think on first down, they're going to have trouble. You know, third and the two plays that they popped were third and one, second and three. Short yardage situations where everybody's up. And then once you get into open, you know, I mean, Dobbins got walked down both times.
Sure.
So I don't, Bob, if they get up early, the only way they do it, if they get up early, Ravens get up early and then you get into the second half, you get into the fourth quarter, and they're kind of worn down, then hammer, 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 because they want to get back on the plane and go home, I would think.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Tony Antonio, you hang tight if you want to be part of the fun. You know the phone number, and you will get your pick. You want to vent about the Orioles, who just dropped 2 out of 3 at Fenway. They had a day off yesterday as the Yankees beat the Red Sox up in the Bronx. New York now 2 games up in the American League's Eastern Division. Zach Eplin trying to regroup after a shaky start last time out against Tampa, and then the Maryland Terrapins after a 50-7 demolition of the UConn Huskies. They 9-point favorites. They lose at home. This is a season that could spiral out of control with a loss against Virginia. Keith Kavanaugh talks about that 11:30. And the Ravens are taking on the Raiders. They're supposed to be scary. They haven't been scary in quite some time, as a matter of fact. Not the old Raiders of the vintage we grew up with the swashbuckling Kenny Stabler and the Mad Bomber, Daryl LaMonica.
Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen, Jim Plunkett, winning championships after championships. Nah, they're kind of also-rans and have been for quite some time. Not to diminish them, your thoughts on the game. Feel free to get in. Let's do it. 410-583-1057. We'll go to Tony Rosedale. Tony, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good to see you. I'll see you guys Sunday as usual at that casino. But
all right.
First, I want to start off give my condolences to the Long family. Rob Long's mother passed away.
Yeah.
I just want to send condolences to Rob Long and his family. Known you guys a long time. Both of you guys work with him. Just wanted to shout that out real quick. Frankie Beverly and Maze is the Mariano Rivera of the Essence Festival that I go to in New Orleans every year. He was the official closer out of that festival for over 20 years. Put On White is a good music choice that you guys selected. And if you get a chance, you can play my favorite, Back in Stride Again by him. It was a classic song. Now, I want to get on to the Ravens and this game Sunday. I want to predict a score of something like 24-13, and I don't think it's going to be as easy as a lot of people think it's going to be.
You're right.
Two people. And I'm going to give my reasons why. You guys alluded a little bit. Gardner Minshew has shown he can have a little bit of success. He beat us last year. That's an NFL quarterback that's won some games. And, you know, if you have a little breakdown like he did last week, he'll take advantage of it. And number two, I went to the game in Vegas in 2021 when we lost that Monday night game. And I saw Max Crosby look like Howie Long out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not careful in this game, something like a strip sack of Lamar deep in our own territory could turn the tides and make things interesting like we so often have a habit of doing. I think overall, though, our talent will, you know, enable us to maybe cover late, but I'm picking a score like 24-13. But I think there'll be a little bit of some antsy moments because the Ravens are still trying to figure some things out, like how to Derrick Henry and defensive, you know, maneuvers or whatever, and we're still in the early stages of a little bit of stuff. So I'm picking something like 24-13, but I'm just saying there may be some antsy moments.
All right, Tony, thanks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Sunday down at the Horseshoe Casino. That would be the under. Over-under is 41.5. Spread's 9. It would cover that. We'll do our picks around 1:30 here on this Featured Artist Friday. Yeah, I could see some
angst.
Little nail-biting moments there in the first three quarters, perhaps.
Yeah, I definitely. Well, especially, Bob, if the O-line is having trouble with their D-line, which they're going to. I'll be 100% shocked if they can control that D-line because there's too many talented guys. Like Tony just said, Max Crosby. But don't forget Kristen Wilkins. You know, I mean, Tyree Wilson, their number one pick, Bob, he's out. He was the other starter. He wore jersey number 9. But he wasn't as act. These other, you know, Adam Butler, don't forget. You're going to see 69 in there, too. Because the thing that they are, Bob, is they're all quick and explosive. Which is what kind of hurts the Ravens' offensive line.
Yeah, and
quick and explosive.
One of their best cornerbacks, if not their best cornerback, is Jacorian Bennett.
He is their best. He is their best.
University of Maryland. Friend of the show. Remember that, Nolan? Jacorian Bennett, we interviewed him down at College Park when you told me he was Rakeem Jarrett. Or vice versa.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. We were on air, and we were supposed to have Rakeem Jarrett coming up next. And then it was all happening so fast.
Yeah. What I remember about that is my belt broke and my pants kept falling down. Right there in front of everybody.
And he'll be in jersey 0 for the game. And the other corner, Jack Jones. I think the Ravens can get after him a little bit.
I think he sang the theme to the Love Boat, Jack Jones. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. Antonio, what's happening?
How you guys doing?
Wonderful. All right.
TGIF.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Got the beer in the fridge, Antonio. I'm ready to rock and roll, man.
And my condolences to Rob Long's mom.
Yeah, horrible, horrible news. If you missed it, you know, it's Rob's story to tell, so we'll defer to him. But Rob's mom sadly passed away, so we are all feeling it today here at the Fan and way beyond.
My score prediction is Ravens 34-10. Go Ravens, and you have a wonderful weekend, guys.
Thank you, Antonio. Antonio, screw you with your close game, 34-10. Break out the puffy pants. It's hammer time.
The only way they get 34-10, Bob, is Raiders turn it over a lot, get some short fields. I mean, I just think it's going to be hard to score 34 points on their defensive front.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. If you're on the phones, we will get to you. But hang tight. Coming up next, got Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Get caught up on the injury issues going on here. Got a new name added to the injury report yesterday. Find out who that was. If you don't know, whip around 11:15. Happened in the world of sports last night. What happened historically for both the Ravens and the Baltimore Orioles. Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. And we talked about this earlier in the week. Big recruiting news for Kevin Willard. Keith's going to elaborate, and we'll talk about tomorrow's game against Virginia. Maryland, 2.5-point favorites. Old rematch against the Cavaliers, longtime ACC foes. Maryland loses this game?
Oof.
They'd be lucky to get to the Mayonnaise Bowl.